Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Ayin Ches. We're starting today in Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Let us just take a quick step backwards. We'll try to organize the Gemara that we've done up until now, and then cover it from Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah, going back to Ayin Dal Amud Beis, discuss various scenarios in which you would be chayv and kefil, but you wouldn't be chayv dal vehei. You steal an animal, and the witnesses report that you stole the animal, and so you're caught with the stolen animal. So the halach is that you have to pay the animal, and you have to also pay kefil as well. Discuss this extensively throughout the seventh parak of Baba Kama. The if you then compound your error by either shechting the animal or selling the animal, so then you have to pay even more punitive fines. You have to pay a larger knas. If this is a shor, if it's a large animal, so then you have to pay five times the amount. And if it's a kevis, if it's a sheep, so then you need to pay four times the amount. So the Mishnayos go over various scenarios in which you'd be chayv kefil, but you would not be necessarily chayv dal vehei. So that's what the Mishnah on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis reported. The Mishnah then ended off with a statement by Rabbi Shimon, which needed clarification. Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is going back to the Mishnah all the way back on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachem Shechayv Bachriyosim, if it's a karban, where you're going to have personal responsibility, so then Misham Tashal Medal Vehe, then you have to pay four or five times the amount. And Shein Chai Bachar Yusam Pater, but if it's not Chai Bachar Yusam, if you are not going to be have personal responsibility, so then you do not have to pay four or five times the amount. The Gemara, taking us back to Ayin Vav, quoted the statement of Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara basically had a very difficult time understanding the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara in Ayin Vav Amud Beis asked a simple question. According to Rabbi Shimon, it makes no difference whether you are selling it to Shemayim, in other words, you're selling it to the Beis HaMikdash, you're transacting it towards the Beis HaMikdash, you're transacting it to another person, so then I certainly understand how you would be chayv dal vehei, meaning he views a transaction regardless of who the recipient of that transaction is. Gemara says, I'm perfectly on board with that, but the truth of the matter is that the way that Rabbi Shimon should have presented it is exactly the opposite. The Gemara goes on to say, animals that I have no personal liability, so if I have no personal liability and I makdish the animal and I sanctify the animal, so that animal for sure has no connection to me anymore. That is really a transaction, a full transaction. So if this is Rabbi Shimon's intent, so really the opinion of Rabbi Shimon should have been flipped. So the Gemara then concedes, and the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon was making a separate point altogether, and the Gemara clarifies on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph that Rabbi Shimon was going on a separate point altogether, and that is Ein Agonav Achar Agonav Misham Tashum Medal Vehei V'Chein Agonav Hektish Mi Beis Balim Pater. If I steal a carbon from Beis Balim, from its owner, so then I'm going to be exempt. Why? Because Vigonav Mi Beis Aish. In other words, in order for it to be a theft, you have to steal it from a person, not from a entity, meaning not from the Beis HaMikdash. And then to which Rabbi Shimon says, well, it depends. If the person has personal liability, so then even though what you stole from the person was a carbon, but since he has personal liability towards the animal, so it's like stealing it from a person. That's the Gemara's clarification of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But then the Gemara pointed out, also towards the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, that even if that's true, but according to Rabbi Shimon, we have another problem, and that is, according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be, in order for a shechita to be valid shechita, it has to be a shechita haru'uya, it has to be a shechita which is fit. Which simply means that in order for something to qualify as a shechita, you have to be able to consume it after you shech the animal. And so, if that's true, so then Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara asks on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, according to Rabbi Shimon, how could it be that I'm stealing a karban, I'm shechting it presumably outside the Beis HaMikdash, that is a shechita she'ein ruya, and therefore that's not considered a shechita. It shouldn't qualify as a shechita. And why should I be liable dal vehei? I'm only going to be liable dal vehei if I shecht an animal. According to Rabbi Shimon, the very definition of shechita is something which is ruya. It has to be something I can eat. And to that, the Gemara gave numerous answers. The Gemara in Ayin Vav Amud Aleph and the Gemara in Ayin Vav Amud Beis gave a number of answers. One of the answers that the Gemara gave is the principle of Kol HaOmed. Kol HaOmed is this idea that according to Rabbi Shimon, even though I can't necessarily eat it, but at least there's a potential, and that potential can manifest into a halacha. As long as it stands to be eaten, so then kala omed, so therefore it's as if the status is therefore that I can eat it. And we see the Gemara then went on to describe that Rabbi Shimon holds of this principle of kol ha omed, kola the. The Gemara 9 Vav Amid Beis quotes the principle of Rabbi Shimon in the Kol HaOmed Lizro Kezarog Dami, that if I have an animal where I'm sprinkling the blood, even though I didn't actually sprinkle the blood of the carbon, as long as I am prepared to sprinkle the blood of the carbon, so then it's as if the blood has already been sprinkled. So this is the Gemara's explanation of Rabbi Shimon. The if an animal stands to be redeemed, even though I didn't actually redeem it yet, so it's as if I actually redeemed the animal as well. Okay, so these are various suggestions that are given within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We are on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Today's daf is Ayin Ches. We're starting towards the top of the Amud Bishlama. So three lines down. Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Lamar, Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Kabbalukim, Lamasis, and Afilu Betmimin. So the Gemara says that we had various suggestions in terms of how to explain Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Shimon describes a scenario in which I steal somebody's carbon. Because the person has a chreis, has personal liability for the carbon, it's as if I stole it from a person. And in terms of the requirement to pay Dalvehei, I shechted it, and therefore I'm required to pay Dalvehei. And again, just to reiterate, according to Rabbi Shimon, how could that be? It's not a shechita ru'uya. It's a carbon. And presumably I shechted it outside the base of Mikdash. It's a shechita she'en ru'uya. So how could it be a valid shechita? So the Gemara says, I understand where Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Reish Lakish's answer. The Kabbalah Kmila Masis and Vila Bitzmimi, because Rav Yochanan would prefer to explain our Mishnah in the context of non-blemished animals. El Reish Lakish, my time alo amak Rav Yochanan. But in terms of Reish Lakish, why doesn't he subscribe to Rav Yochanan's answer? Amlacha, so the Gemara explains like this, Utzvacho machro, kol hecha de isa me mechira isa betvicha. So the way Reish Lakish understands it is as follows. Look, we know that there's a liability of Dal Vehei. There's a punishment of Dal Vehei in a scenario where either the Torah says I shech the animal or I sell the animal after having stolen it. And the reason why the Torah puts these two side by side is that they have to, in a certain way, reflect one another. Utzvacho machoro. Now, you don't have to do both. You can do either one, but still they're reflective on each other. So, any time that I can apply the principles of Mechira, so Isa B'tficha, so the same thing is true with Shechting. V'chol Heicha D'Leisa B'mechira Leisa B'tficha. And if I can't sell it, then if I'm not going to be punishable for the sale, I'm not going to be punishable for the shechting. V'hani kashim hol dechi mezabin kashim lo havi mechira lesnu betficha. And if I have a carbon, can I sell a carbon? The answer, of course, is no. Meaning, once I have a carbon is unsellable. So if I can't sell a carbon, so and I'm not going to be responsible for the sale of a carbon, I'm also not going to be responsible for the shechting of the carbon as well, to have to pay the dal v'hei. So this is how Reish Lakish responds to Rav Yochanan, and this is why Reish Lakish does not explain the Mishnah like Rav Yochanan, because Reish Lakish is insistent of this idea that if it's something which is subject to tvicha, it's subject to mechira, and vice versa. The azdu letamayu, and the Gemara points out that this is Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish being consistent in other areas as well. The Itmar, the Gemara quotes the following: So let's say you have the following scenario. I stole an animal. Animal happened to have been a trefa. Trefa means that the animal is going to die. There is a physical defect within one of the organs in the animal, and the animal is going to die. A trefa is not edible, meaning even if I were to shecht the trefa, it's simply not an edible animal. So there is no shechita by the trefa, meaning I could shech the animal.
Why not and, you sell it to a goy?
And no, you could sell it to... Well, hold on a second.
It's edible by itself.
Correct. But we're talking now about shechita in the context of you and I. So I could shech the animal, and yes, it's true, the shechting of the animal would be matari, the animal would make the animal not susceptible to tumas nevela. That's true, but the Gemara now points out, what we're not discussing the case of shechting, we're talking about selling. So let's say I'm a ganav. I stole a trefa. And just for the purpose of making this argument, let's assume we know the animal's a trefa. That's always difficult because, generally speaking, it's an internal defect, not an external defect. But just to have this discussion, let's assume that we know the animal's a trefa. So now I stole an animal that happens to be trefa and I sell it.
So no, simple question. So I sold an animal that's a treifa. Am I going to be subject to the punishment of dal v'hei? Now, so the Gemara says, L'divrei Rabbi Shimon, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, this qualifier over here, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, yes. Let's understand this qualifier. Rabbi Shimon says that if I were to shech the treifa, that shechita is not considered shechita. Again, going back to the principle that, according to Rabbi Shimon, the only thing that's going to be a shechita is going to be when I shecht it and I can eat it. If I can't eat it after the shechita is not regarded as a shechita. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, we have the following question. So let's say I have a treifa animal that I stole. Okay, so there's no such thing as shechting such an animal. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a shechita. But I, the thief, didn't shecht it, I sold it. So now, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Chayvs, Rabbi Yochanan says you're going to be liable for dal v'hei. Rabbi Reish Lakish, Amar Patan, Reish Lakish says you're going to be exempt from dal v'hei. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Chayv, Avagav, Deleisa, Betvicha, Isa, Bemechira. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right. According to Rabbi Shimon, I can't shech the animal. The shechting is not going to have any validity whatsoever, but we're not talking about shechting the animal. We're talking about selling the animal. And even though it doesn't, the rules of shechting don't apply, but the rules of sale do apply. So Rabbi Yochanan does not say that these two halachas necessarily need to reflect one another. And Reish Lakish Amar Potter Kevin Deleisa Betvicha Leisa Bemechira. And Reish Lakish will tell you no, that if it's not subject to shechting, it's also not subject to the punishment of sale. I, the thief, if I were to sell the animal, the treifa, I'm not going to be subject to dal v'hei. Since I cannot be subject to dal v'hei on the shechting, I'm also not going to be subject to dal v'hei on the sale as well. This is Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan once again reflecting their viewpoints that, according to Reish Lakish, it has to mimic one another. If I'm punishable for selling, I'm punishable for shechting, and vice versa. And Rav Yochanan says, no, the two halachas do not have to go hand in hand. Eitzvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, so challenging. And the challenge comes from the following. Ganav Kalayim V'Tavcha. Let's say I were to shecht an animal that was a cross. Okay, so the animal is not a shor, it's not a seh, it is a... It's a combination, meaning it's a result of a crossbreeding. And so, gun of klein v'tavcha. So I stole it and I shechted it. Or treifa umachra. Or let's say it was a treifa and I sold it. So Masham Tashomi Arba v'chamisha. So the Brisa says that you're going to be subject to dal v'hei. Who is the author of this Brisa? My love, Rabbi Shimon. He presumably, now this is an assumption, presumably the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon. Now, we say that we presumably the author of this Brisa is Rabbi Shimon because the Brisa here is talking about a treifa. Why do you think the Brisa is talking about a treifa? Oh, because according to Rabbi Shimon, a treifa is not shechtable, since it's a shechita shein eruya, it's not going to result in eating, so therefore there is no shechita, so that the author of the Braisa is presumably Rabbi Shimon. Now, what did we just learn together in the Braisa? Ama afagav deleisa betvicha yisim b'mechira. That if I shech the treifa, I'm not going to be subject to dal v'hei, but if I sell the treifa, I would be subject to the punishment of dal v'hei. Assuming that we are right, that the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, so we have now a check for Reish Lakish. This seems to favor Reish Lakish's opinion that these two halachas do not necessarily go hand in hand. I can have a halacha that applies to one, not necessarily the other. So, this, if we're right, that the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, so then this provides a good basis for the opinion of Reish Lakish. Amar le'lo Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we were wrong in our assumption. Maybe the author of the Braisa is not Rabbi Shimon, maybe the author is a Chachamim. Now, according to the Chachamim, it's a little bit difficult. I Rabbanan, Trefa b'mechira, Isa b'zvicha leisa. So now, according to the Chachamim, if I steal an animal and I sell the Trefa, I'm going to be subject to dal v'hei. But according to the Chachamim, if I steal a Trefa and I shecht the Trefa, I'm also going to be subject to the punishment of dal v'hei. And of course, because according to the Chachamim, they don't subscribe to the principle of Shechita Shein Eruya. So according to the Chachamim, any Shechita is going to bring about the punishment of dal v'hei. So why would the Braisa talk about selling the Trefa? If the author of the Braisa is a Chachamim, it could talk about selling the Trefa, and it could talk about shechting the Trefa as well. Ve'elamai Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go back to what you originally assumed, that the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, now we're talking about a crossbred animal. Crossbred animal, if I shech the crossbred animal, I'm going to be liable. Now does that mean to say that if I sell the crossbred animal, I'm not going to be liable? In other words, there's really no reason why this should be different. So So the Gemara says that it must be that if I were to shech the crossbred animal, I'm going to be liable. And truth be told, if I sold the animal, I'm going to be liable as well. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we say that the author of the Brisa is a Chachamim? We're just ping-ponging back and forth. Let's say that the author of the Brisa is a Chachamim, and even though the Brisa talks about selling the treifa, but the truth of the matter is that even if I were to shech the treifa, I'd be liable as well. Rav Yochanan Amar Lecha. Now Rav Yochanan will tell you, hi, my. Rav Yochanan says, no. E Amar Bishlam Rabbi Shimon. If you want to tell me that the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon, I did the Tani Treifa Bechada Tani Klein Bechada. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, I know why the Brisa necessarily has to take a side on Treifa. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a difference between shechling a treifa, which is not a shechita, versus selling a treifa. Ela'iyam a rabbanan. But if you want to tell me that the author of the brisa is a chacham and nevinim nesnenu, why doesn't the brisa make one singular point, which is gun of klaim treifa tvachan umecharan? If I steal either a crossbred animal or treifa, and after stealing either one of them, I then either sell or shecht either one of them. If the author of the brisa is a chachamim, that is how the brisa could have made its point very succinctly and making no discrepancy between a crossbred animal and a treifa. So kasha. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara says, you know what? You're right. That part is difficult. And the Gemara says, and really, it would seem much more sensible to say that the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon. And again, if the author of that Brisa is Rabbi Shimon, it speaks to this idea that if I sell a treifa animal, I'm going to, in other words, the author, sorry, let's go back one step. The author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says that a shechita, in order for a shechita to be valid, it has to be a shechita that results in eating. So if I shech the treifa, if I, the thief, steal an animal, and the animal's a treifa, and I shech it, I'm not going to be subject to Dal V'Hei, since I can't eat the animal, but if I were to sell the animal, I would be subject to Dal V'Hei. And again, this speaks to the idea that Tvicha and Mechira don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. I can have a halacha that applies to Mechira and does not apply to Tvicha. And this would be supportive of Rav Yochanan's position that they don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. Okay, that was a mouthful. Yes?
Does the thief know? At what?
Does, in other words, again, I mentioned... I know, I mentioned earlier, just for the purposes of this discussion, let's assume that we know the animal's a treifa. If he didn't know, then it gets a little bit more complicated. But just, in other words, we're just understanding it from a fundamental standpoint. Let's just, assume that he knew. Okay. Kasha. Okay. Kalayim Seksiv. So the Gemara over here is bothered by the following. Okay, so now we've exhausted the... We didn't exhaust, but we're finished with the topic of Treifa, and now we just take a quick turn. We pivot on the issue of Kalayim. I, the thief, stole a crossbred animal, and I either shechted it or I sold it. So the Braisa says, I'm going to be subject to Dal V'Hei. I'm going to have to pay Dal V'Hei. Now here the Gemara says, I don't quite follow. The Torah is very clear. Seksiv. The Torah says it has to be a sheep. And presumably when the Torah says the word se, it means a purebred. It can't be a crossed animal, it has to be a sheep. The Amar Rava Zebanav Kalmakum Shanemar Sein Wa Allah Lahotzi Sekalayim. And Rava says this, that we have a binyanav. We have a general precedent throughout the Torah that when the Torah says the word se, it means a full-bred animal. It has to be a sheep, and it cannot be a crossbred animal. So, why should it be that if I were to steal a crossbred animal, I'm going to be subject to, if I either shechted or sold the animal, I'm going to be subject to Dal V'Hei. The Torah says the word se. And Rava says, we have a precedent, the binyanav. Se means purebred. So, shani hachadam akra, oh, l'rabbas asaklayim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to the parsha of stealing an animal, it says, sure,
oseh. And the O over there is a ribui. It's an inclusion. So the Gemara says, v'chol ola rabosu v'hatanya. So the Gemara says, really? When you have the extra word O, and by the way, it's an extra word because if the Torah could have conserved a letter, the Torah could have written shor vise, leaving out the entire extra word O. So O is an extra word. So we have a ribui. The Gemara says, but that's not always true. When you have the extra word O, sometimes we go in the other direction. Instead of being an inclusionary, it becomes exclusionary. Consider, v'atanya, shor o kesef. When the Torah describes the animal as a carbon, it says either shor o kesef, prat l'klayim. And that excludes a crossbred animal. O-A is prat l'nidme. And when it says or a goat, it excludes a nidme. Nidme, Rashi describes basically a mutated animal. Rashi writes, nidme, eno dame la'aviv l'alimo. Sheba ma'ayel v'rachav adom l'ayis. Right? The mother and the father are of the ram sheep nature. And yet, what comes out, inexplicably, a mutation, what comes out is a goat. So this is what the halacha describes. That offspring of a child is what's called a nidme, and that's not going to be, for all intents and purposes, it's a kosher animal, but it simply doesn't qualify as a carbon. Okay, so you see the word O over here was not used as an inclusionary term. The word O over here was used as an exclusionary term. So the Gemara says, so which way do we go when we see the word O? So, Amarava, we are four lines from the bottom on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Amarava, Hachaminyana Dekrava, Hachaminyana Dekra. The answer which the Gemara gives consistently throughout the Gemara is context. Look at the context in which the word O is being presented in the Torah, and the context will tell us which way it can go. Meaning, the word O is certainly open to drasha. And in terms of whether it's inclusionary or exclusionary, the context will dictate whether, in which direction we're going to go. Now, when the Torah presents to us the stealing of an animal and either shafting or selling the animal, the Torah says, shor oseh. Shiata yochol lahotzi kalayim mi beinehem. Now, shor and seh cannot be crossbred. Now, how do I explain that biologically? I'm not sure, but I will quote Rashi. Rashi says, I cannot crossbreed shor seh. De'i lo havaksiv o l'rabos lo mishtama klai minayhu. I would not have even entertained the discussion of crossbred animals if my only two animals are an ox and a sheep. Shahari, Rashi writes, it's the last Rashi on the Amud. Shahari, ein mit'abrim zemizeh. Rashi says, they're just simply not crossable. These two animals are not crossable. Why? She'ein iburun shava. So Rashi says the gestation period of these animals are different, and as a result of that, they're just simply not crossable. The behemah gasiyah let us letisha, because a large animal gestation period is 9 months. Now it just happens to be, it's talking last week in my trip to Georgia, so I was talking to a farmer, so he told me 10 months. Okay, but because I know the Gemara consistently throughout says that the gestation of a large animal is a 9 month period, and I kind of I half smiled as I heard 10 months. Okay. Anyway, but it's a long gestation period. And Rashi says, and the gestation period of a small animal is 5 months. So Rashi says, as a result of that, Hilkach o l'rebuyasa. So now, when the Torah gives me shor and seh, says they're not crossable animals. And I have the additional word o. So the context over here is already excluding a crossed animal, but only because you can't cross a shor and a seh. So when I have the word o being presented in that context, the o must be inclusionary. Rashi goes on to say, o l'rebuyasa v'lo l'hotzi, da'abalav hachi lo asa klein ben mashmos tekra. Because without the word O, I would have said the Torah chose those two for the specific purpose of excluding the crossbred animal, and so therefore O is running counter to that concept, and the O is coming to include. However, back to the Gemara. Gabe kachim, but when the Torah was describing a carbon, and which animal is fit to be brought as a carbon? Dichziv kesev ve'ez sha'ata yachol lahotzi klayim mi beinehem o lema'et hu. So there, when the Torah is describing a carbon, and the Torah is talking about a sheep and a goat, and again, now based on the Rashi, I get it, they have a similar gestation period, so therefore they're crossable animals, so therefore I might have entertained the idea that sheep
or a goat or any cross in between. Therefore, the Torah goes out of its way to say the word oh, which is in that context coming to exclude, not to include. So the Gemara says, so that's where we're going to go with the word O. O can sometimes be inclusionary, sometimes be exclusionary, and we allow the context of the pasuk to dictate in which direction we're going to go. Ayin chesam adaf, the very top of the Amud, today's daf. V'haga bekachem nami nehem arshar o kesev, she'en ato yochol latzi klaimi b'neihem, so v'narbe. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when we go into the parsha of karbanos, shor o kesef o eis, so the Torah also mentions shor o kesef. And as we've already established, they're not crossable animals. So the context there would dictate that they're not crossable animals, and the word O should therefore include, not exclude. So the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, yeah, but since the next examples are Kesef and A's, and there the word O is coming to exclude, so the first O is coming to exclude as well. So the Gemara says, okay, but can't we make the point, can't we argue the other direction? If the first O is inclusionary, the second word O is inclusionary, So the Gemara says, no, it has to be exclusionary, because since it, let's say like this, we know there are two O's in the carbon parsha, and we either are going to say that they're both inclusionary or they're both exclusionary. We have to say that they're both exclusionary because we need to exclude a crossed animal, and we also need to exclude a mutated animal. But if you want to go in the direction that it's an inclusionary term, so I wouldn't need two inclusionary terms. If I'm including a crossed animal, I'm certainly going to include a mutated animal as well. Now, it's just an interesting, just to think about the point the Gemara here is considering, that for reasons which I don't fully understand, but clearly the Gemara is saying it, is that a crossed animal is more of a distortion than a mutated animal. And if a crossed animal can be fit as a carbon, well, certainly a mutated animal could also fit as a carbon as well. The Gemara says that very clearly. Again, I'm just making an admission. I don't fully understand why should that be. I could see an argument that they both require independent inclusions or exclusions, but the Gemara says that's just simply the fact. So I wouldn't need them as a double inclusion, because once I say cross, then certainly mutated animals as well. So therefore, I go back to the point that they're both exclusionary terms. One's to exclude the crossed animal, the other is to exclude the mutated animals, and that's where we land on this issue. Okay. So where are we right now? In the Gemara, we have now a discussion of what is the status of a crossed animal. The Gemara says, depends. If I steal a kalayim, if I steal a crossbred animal, so and I either shechted or I sold the animal, I'm subject to the dalvehe penalty. Why should that be? The Gemara's answer is, oh, and the O there serves as a riboy. When I'm bringing a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be a purebred. It can't be a crossbred. Why do I know that? Because the word O there and the O is exclusionary, not inclusionary. Fine. The Gemara says, now let's remind ourselves how we got to this whole discussion to begin with. It got to this discussion because of a statement made by Rava. Rava's talking about a binyanav. Binyanav? What are you talking about? Meaning, we have the word O, and sometimes it serves as an inclusion, sometimes it serves as an exclusion. Now, where does Rava's binyanav fit into this discussion? That's the Gemara's next point. The Torah says the word seh, and whenever you see the Torah saying the word seh, it comes to exclude a crossbred animal. What are we talking about? Binyanav, precedent. We just said it's predicated on the word O. Lamai Hilchos, the Gemara says, in what regard does this have any application? Ela kachim b'hajik sivba hu shor kesef prat l'klaim. I'm sorry. So are we talking about a carbon? We just discussed that the word O over there is an exclusion. We don't need a binyanav. We don't need a precedent. And ela meiser, and if we're talking about meiser behema, which, by the way, just as an interesting aside, the by meiser behema, it's also carbon. So It's kind of interesting how the Gemara looks, huh? Yeah, right. The Gemara just kind of puts this as its own separate category. The Gemara says tachas tachas yalav mikachim. The Gemara says yeah, but we have a gzeir shava linking it to kachim. So if a crossbred animal is not going to be good for a carbon, it's not going to be good for ma'aser behema as well. And ila bechor havar havar yalav b'ma'aser. And if it's a bechor, which again, just as an interesting parenthetical note, also the carbon. But if we're talking about bechor, so there we also have a Zereshava linking it to Meiser. So we have a Zereshava linking Bechor to Meiser to Karbon, and therefore, once we know that the crossbred animal is excluded from Karbon, it's also going to be excluded from Meiser, and it's also going to be excluded from Bechor as well. Inami Nidme Amart Lo. Dichsiv Ach Bechor Shor. Achie Hu Shor U Bechor Shor. So the Gemara says, and as far as a mutated animal is concerned, well, we already know that a mutated animal is excluded because the Torah says Bechor Shor, that its firstborn is an ox, meaning that it and its parents have to be an ox. If you have a ox that produces a mutated animal and what comes out does not look like an ox, it's not subject to kedushas bechor. So the Gemara says, so now that we're now, basically, just to reiterate, question, after now having all these drushas, why do I need Rava's binyanav? He has a precedented statement. I don't need a precedented statement. I have drushas of the word oh coming to tell me all these halachas. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says there's one area in halacha where I need Rava's binyanav, which, by the way, just kind of it kind of mutes a little bit the point of binyanav. Binyanav means precedent. Precedent means throughout the area of halacha, kola tarakula, this is the rule. And basically, now we have a binyanav with one application. That of itself is, it's a little bit strange, but okay. The Gemara says, we have it in the following in Petach Hamor, in the redemption of your firstborn donkey. Kedidnan ein podin. When the Torah says that when you have Petach Hamor, when you have your firstborn donkey, it has Kedusha. Now, obviously, can't be brought as a carbon. It's not a kosher animal. So what do you do with an animal that has Kedusha, but can't bring it as a carbon? You redeem it. And the Torah says, and what do you redeem it on? So the Torah describes redeeming it on a seh. On a sheep, right? That's the end of Parshas Bo. Perek Yud Gimel in Shmos. So you redeem it on a sheep. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Ein podin lo be ekev lo bechayev lo beshchuta. You cannot redeem your firstborn donkey on a calf, on a wild animal, on a shechted animal, lo betrefa, not on a treif animal, velo beklayim, and not on a crossbred animal. Now, how do you know that you can't redeem it on a crossbred animal? So that's where we're going to use the binyanav of Rava. Rava's binyanav is going to tell us that not on a crossbred animal because the Torah says the word seh. Velo bekoy, and just one other point, and you can't use a koy as well. Koy is unclear exactly what it is. It may be a chai, it may be a behema, or maybe its own separate category. Whatever the case is, this is where we're going to have the application of Rava's binyanav. Okay. Ula Rebbe Elazar d'amata b'klaim d'nan. Now the Gemara points out, not everyone agrees to this last point, that when it comes to the redemption of your firstborn donkey, you can't use a crossbred animal. D'nan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar d'amata b'klaim im neshusa. Rebbe Elazar says that you can use a crossbred animal, because according to Rebbe Elazar, he is a seh. He puts under the category of seh, l'may hilchasa. So now, if that's correct, meaning if you subscribe to his viewpoint, so then where are we going to apply Rava's binyanav? So Amalcha Rav Elazar ki inma de Rava letamish nola minatamar v'iburo minatame. So the Gemara says, in terms of Rava's application, we're going to apply it to an animal where its mother is a kosher animal, its father was a non-kosher animal, so they have now two animals which are crossed, which according to Rav Elazar, in of itself is not a problem. The problem is, what resulted from that cross is that what the resulting child, the fetus that comes out, is not. It does not look like a kosher animal. Shenol minatar v'ibur minatame udalokra of Yoshua. And the Gemara points out, not subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yoshua, the Rabbi Yoshua, mi se, not the word Moshe, mi sex of him v'se izim nafkale. So he learns it out from sex of him, se izim. Achi aviv kevas v'imo kivsa. Utahara, I'm sorry, Kivsa. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yoshua, we have a separate drasha. So in other words, this gets a little bit complicated now. We're going to apply the Binyan of a Rava according to Rav Elazar in a scenario in which we're crossing a kosher, non-kosher animal. And in order to use the Binyan of a Rava, we also have to sidestep the point of Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. The Gemara, finishing up this discussion, Vatara Mitzmeh Mima Abra, the Gemara says, really, is that physiologically possible, biologically possible, where you can have a union of a kosher and non-kosher animal? So the Gemara says, and the Gemara says, yeah, it's possible. Top of Ayin Chesem and Beis, Diabra Mikalot, the Karebi Shimon. So the Gemara says it is possible where you can have a union from a kalut. Right? Take a look at Rashi over here. Not going to go through the entire Rashi, but the Gemara's basic answer is that yes, it's within the realm of possibility. Look at the beginning of the Rashi. Kalut pirsosav klutos venolam in a tahor. You have an animal where the hooves are fused together, right? One of the simanim of a kosher animal is that it has to, two simanim are, as the chew its cut, and it has to have split hooves. You have a mutated animal where it comes from a kosher animal, but the hooves are fused together. Rabbi Shimon Karilei Tamei. Now, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, Rabbi Shimon refers to that as a non-kosher animal. The Tanya Bebechoros, the Rashi here quotes the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Omer Gamal, Gamal Shnei Pamim, Echa Gamal Hanola Min HaGamala, Vecha Gamal Hanola Min HaPara, Ve'afilu Evrosa Min HaTar, Mishur Gamor Kamar Le Rabbi Shimon, Upalagalev Rabbi Yoshua, Hecha De Evrosa Min HaTar. Okay, and this is the point where I don't want to get into, but this point is debatable, but at least it can theoretically work out where you have a quote-unquote non-kosher animal, an animal where the hoof is fused together, where according to Rabbi Shimon, that qualifies as a non-kosher animal. But since biologically the animal is coming from a kosher animal, so that animal can be mated together with another kosher animal. Okay. That was really a mouthful. I'm sorry. Let's end it good. So hopefully we're not totally lost amongst the forest right now, within all these trees. Where do we stand on all this? A discussion in the Gemara about kalayim, about a crossbred animal. So generally speaking, where does it fall in the halacha? Is it included or is it excluded? So the Gemara says, it's not a perfectly uniform rule. Sometimes it's included, sometimes it's excluded. By karbanos, if I'm going to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash, it must be a purebred animal. And we learned this from Shor O Kesef O'Eis and the word O over there. It must be a purebred animal and cannot be a crossbred animal. By theft, by geneva, right? Still an animal. And the Torah describes one of two animals, a Shor O'Seh. There, it doesn't have to be a purebred animal. It could be a crossbred animal. The word O is coming to tell me that even a crossbred animal. And the reason why we got onto this discussion is because we were discussing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and where did this fit in within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? And okay, let's move on in the Gemara. One more Q&A before we get to the next Mishnah. Gemara asks the following question. Bai Rava, we're on the very top of Ayin Chesem and Beis. Hare Alai Ola. Let's say a person makes the following declaration. He pledges that he's going to bring a carbon Ola. Problem is, not a problem. The issue is that he didn't explicate what type of animal he was going to bring. Now, in terms of a carbon Ola, it could be a large animal, it could be a mid-sized animal, it can even be a bird, meaning that there are many animals that can qualify as a carbon Ola. His personal pledge was that he was going to bring a carbon Ola. Here for sure, and then he set aside a shore. The largest animal that one could bring as a carbon Ola. And a ganav comes and he steals it. And what the ganav did with it is whatever he did with it. It doesn't matter. And now he wants to make reimbursement. So now he's going to go back to the person and say, look, I'm going to make restitution in that which I took from you, but let's be honest with each other. The pledge that you made to the base of Mikdash is a carbon Ola. You didn't specify which animal was going to be. So, mi pater ganav nashe bekeves. So, can he get away by making a reimbursement of a sheep? A smaller animal, a cheaper animal, but certainly would be a satisfaction of the pledge. Li rabbanan kel ba'olas ha'of. According to the Chachamim, can he reimburse him with a sheep? And according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, can he reimburse him with a bird? Did none. In fact, let's take a look now at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hare alai ola. So if a person makes a pledge of bringing a carbon ola, so yavi kevesh. So according to the Tanakhama, he could bring, it's got to be an animal, but it could be either large size animal or a smaller size animal. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah Amar Yavitor or Ben Yonah. And according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, you can bring a bird. So you see over here, there is a range of opinion whether or not you could bring either an animal or even a bird. So if I'm the thief, so according to the Chachamim, can I get away with, I stole a shore, but can I make good on my reimbursement by giving him a kevis? If I'm Rav Elazar ben Azariah, can I even make good on just giving back a bird? So my mi amrinan shem ola kabilavei. So is it that the nignav, just simply pledged the carbon ola? So as long as he gets something reimbursed with something that is an ola, that's good enough. Udilma masi amale ana mitzvah min amavchabi ina lameeved. So the Gemara says, or the argument of the victim could be, I clearly wanted to bring the large animal. In fact, excellent proof could be brought by virtue of the fact that I set aside an ox. Meaning, I clearly was looking to bring the largest animal. So now you stole it from me. You did whatever you did with it. You want to make now reimbursement. You're going to reimburse me with an ox. You're not going to reimburse me with a smaller animal. True, I only pledged an ola, but clearly my intent was to bring the largest animal. And interestingly enough, the answer of the Gemara is that the reimbursement can be made even with the smaller size animal. Again, how small depends who you hold like. If you hold like the Chachamim Mekeves, if you hold like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, a bird. But the Ganav does not have to reimburse him with the largest animal, as long as it's an animal that will satisfy his pledge. Rav Achbed, Rav Ika, Masin Lebeheja, Amar, Rava Trey, I'm sorry, Hare Alai Ola for sure, Uvacher Veganvo, Pata Asma Bekevis, Rabbanavol itself, Lorval Azaman Azariah. And then the Gemara, in the last two or three lines, simply did not say it as a question and answer, just simply said it as a statement. If I steal an animal from someone who pledges an Ola, but without being specific about what kind of Ola he's going to bring, so then even though I stole the largest animal, I can reimburse him either with a smaller animal according to the Chachamim, or even a bird according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, Machra. Let's start the next Mishnah. Let's start the next sugya. Okay, so in order to be chayv d'alvei, I have to do one of two things. Either after having stolen the animal, I either have to shech the animal, or I have to sell the animal. What if I do not sell the entire animal? The Mishnah discusses. Machra chutz me'echa mimea shebo. Let's say I sell the animal, but 99% of the animal, I withhold for myself 1% of the animal. Oshai solo boshutfus, or let's say, at a partnership. Where I didn't steal it from a single owner. I stole it from a partnership. So shochev nifnavla biado, or let's say I shech the animal and I don't do a proper shechita. The animal becomes an avela. Hanochev amaker, or I do. I kill the animal in a way where it's not a proper shechita. Nechira is through the nostril. Ma'akir, I rip out the simonim. I rip out the pipes, the trachea in the esophagus. Mesham tishlam kevel. Ve'ena mesham arba v'chamisha. So on the technicality, I'm going to have to pay for, I'm going to have to make restitution. I'm going to have to pay kevel. What I'm not going to have to do is I'm not going to have to pay dalav v'hei. Because the mechira has to be an entire mechira. The shechita has to be a proper shechita. So on a technicality, I'm going to be off. I'm going to be off on the dal v'hei. Gemara starts off with the following discussion. My chutz me'echad mi'mea shebo. The first example given in the Mishnah is I sell the animal, but 99% of the animal, I retain 1% of the animal. Okay, so the Mishnah presents it as a percentage. What exactly did the Mishnah mean? Amar Rav, chutz min davar hanitar imo b'shechita. So according to Rav, in order to get off on this technicality of I didn't sell the animal, it has to be that I withheld in the sale part of the meat. Something that becomes permitted through the shechita, meaning an edible portion of the animal. V'levi amar chutz mi gizusa. And Levi says, no, it doesn't have to be an edible part of the animal. If I withhold any part of the animal, even the shearings of the animal, that's going to be enough for this technicality to kick in. V'chein tanya b'masisa, and the Gemara quotes a brayso, and the brayso is going to make exactly this point as well. Chutz migizusah, so with exception to the giza, the shearings. Meitzvah, the Gemara is going to challenge based on the brayso macher, chutz miyada. If I sell the animal except for one of the legs of the animal, chutz miragla. Right, yada ragla, yada the front legs of the animal, and ragla the hind legs of the animal. Chutz mikarna, chutz mikizusah, with exception to the horn, with exception to the shearing. Eina mishalim tishlam arba v'chamisha. So according to the Tanakama, you do not pay 4 or 5 times the amount on a technicality. Technicality is, in order to be liable for this 4 or 5 time penalty, I have to sell the entire animal, withholding nothing to myself. Rabbi Omer, davram akev v'shchita, and Rabbi's of the opinion, it's something that has to be held back in shchita. Hama'akev b'shchita. Meaning, as Rashi explains over here, that if I hold something back where it would render the animal a trefa, so then it would not be a good sale. Then I do not pay 4 or 5 times the amount. If I sell the animal, the only thing I retain for myself are various pieces and parts of the animal, but it's not going to render the animal a trefa, so then I would be chayv dal v'hei. So Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar amar chutz mikarna, and Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar says that if I withhold the horns, ein misham tashlum me'arba v'chamisha, chutz migizosa misham tashlum me'arba v'chamisha. If I withhold the shearings, I do have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. Okay, so a range of opinions in the Braisa that talk about selling all the animal except, and a discussion of what do I need to leave out from the sale in order to be exempt from Dalvehe. Now, Bisham, I'm a Levi to Katana Kama. Now, according to Levi, perfect. Meaning, the Tana Kama says, any withholding in the sale is not going to be considered a sale vis-a-vis the penalty of Dalvehe. So Levi's position is right in line with the Tanakama. El Rav, come on. But Rav's opinion, however, is very difficult, because Rav says, in order for the sale to be not valid for Dal Vehei, you have to leave out meat. That's what Rav said. Now, there were 3 opinions in the Braisa, and none of the 3 opinions went in accordance with Rav. So that's difficult. Now, Rav could be an independent viewpoint. We sometimes in the Gemara says that Rav is the status of a Tana, and he can argue, but it would be preferable if Rav would have fit into one of the opinions. We'll stop here, we'll pause over here, tomorrow we'll pick it up. Exactly how can we defend Rav's position? Let's quickly recap. Okay, covered a lot today, in a short amount of time. Say, the Gemara on Ein Zion, we went all the way back to the Mishnah on Ein Dalam and Beis, discussing the statement of Rabbi Shimon about a carbon that has a chrayos versus a carbon that does not have a chrayos. And as we explain, what Rabbi Shimon is talking about is not the sale, but we're talking about stealing a carbon from. If I steal a carbon from a person who has personal reliability, it's as if I stole it from a person. That is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Then led to a discussion of what about the fact that I'm shechting a carbon outside the base of Mikdash? Isn't that considered Shechita Shein Ru'uya? So the Gemara's on Ayin Vav and on Ayin Zayin dealt with that question extensively. We then picked up the discussion in the Gemara of, is the halachas of Tficha and Mechira mirror images of one another? Meaning, if it applies to one, does it necessarily have to apply to the other? Machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which the Gemara spoke about in the 9 Zayin Amid Beis. And then a discussion goes into today's daf about whether or not there will be a liability for the theft of a crossbred animal. The Gemara says that in Dal Vehei, for the penalty of Dal Vehei, you would be liable for the theft of a crossbred animal, even though in other areas of halacha, a crossbred animal is excluded. Rava says there's a binyan av. The Gemara's question was, what is Rava's binyan av applying to? And the Gemara's basic answer is Petr Chamor, the firstborn donkey. And then finally, we finish off our discussion today by talking about the sale of a animal, where I don't make a full sale of the animal, I withhold part of the sale. The Mishnah describes even a 1% withholding is going to be a technical loophole. It'll be a it's a technical exemption that will exempt you from the penalty of dal vehe. What exactly do you have to withhold in order to get this exemption? So the Gemara had a debate between Rav and Levi. We quoted a brisa. The Tanakhama's position goes in line with Levi. Any withholding is going to be a technical exemption. Rav's position will continue tomorrow.